you everybody for coming to learn tonight in this first of a three-part pre-Shavuot series. This week with Rabbi Akiva Willig, next week Bezrus Hashem on Thursday night with Rabbi Yoni Levin, and Bezrus Hashem the following week on a Thursday night with Rav Daniel Gladstein. We look forward to all three parts. I first met Rabbi Akiva Willig in Kerem Biavna before he was Rabbi Akiva Willig, and he was a year younger than the rest of the Chevra. He came a year, he still is, a year younger than the rest of the Chevra. He came a year early to Eretz Yisrael, and it was a little unusual because he was stronger than most of the rest of the Chevra, and the gap in learning over the decades has only widened. But beyond that, Rabbi Willig is also someone who has a tremendous, an uncommon amount of common sense and a read on Klal Yisrael, on our community, and on people. And he's someone I turn to very often for advice in terms of dealing with communal issues. I just want to thank him for taking from his time to share with us Divrei Torah heading into the Yom Tov of Shavuos. Without further ado, Rabbi Willig.
Chazal tell us that you're supposed to begin a drush with a milsa de b'dichusa. So Rabbi Leibowitz was mighty us in making jokes about me. So I appreciate that. I don't have to start with a joke. I must tell you, it's really exciting to be here. Unfortunately, I was unable to participate on the very long extended weekend of the Chanukah Sabayis. I simply couldn't make it. So it's nice to be here this evening. I must tell you as well, it's very refreshing to be able to give a drush without a mask on. I do give my, a shiurim during the week when it's a relatively small crowd without a mask, but to stand in front of a shul without a mask, I don't know the last time I've done this, so Yashar Koach Rabbi Leibowitz, and we're getting there. We're all getting there collectively. Well, yeah, I understand. I haven't had a Shabbos yet. I haven't had the opportunity to give the very Torah from the Amud without a mask, so I thank you, and I'll practice smiling again without a mask, so I'll be ready for Shabbos. So this evening I'd like to discuss, as the title of the series was Chizuk for the upcoming Yontif of Shavuos, so I assume when we are being mechazik for the Yontif of Shavuos, we're mechazik in areas of Torah. After all, the Yontif of Shavuos is Zman Matan Torah Seinu, a time for Kabbalah Satorah. So the Gemara tells us in Maseches Brachos that there are multiple things that need chizuk at all times. The Gemara Brachos Daf Lamed Beis tells us Arba Tzrichim Chizuk Torah Ma'isim Tovim Tfilin Derech Eretz. So there are many ways to be mechazik each other, to strengthen each other in various aspects of Avodas Hashem. But this evening, because we are working towards the Yontif of Shavuos, so we'll talk a short divrei chizuk on about Torah and Talmud Torah. And I would like to use, perhaps a little out of the box, so to speak, to use three minor holidays, all in the month of Iyar, as a point of departure to talk about themes that don't necessarily connect to Talmud Torah, but as we'll see, there are certain ideas in each one of these holidays that can teach us about Torah and our attitude towards Talmud Torah. And those three minor holidays in the month of Iyar, it depends how you count, you can come up with four. If you please, we're going to focus on three of those days, and that is one just a few days ago, Pesach Sheni, the second in just a few days, Lag BaOmer, and the last being Yom Yerushalayim, the 14th, 18th, and 28th day of Iyar. So let's begin. We'll go in order. We'll start with Pesach Sheni, move to Lag BaOmer, and then move over to Yom Yerushalayim. The story of Pesach Sheni is something we're all familiar with. The Torah tells us in Parshas Bahaloscha that members of Klal Yisrael, for whatever reason, were unable to offer the Karban Pesach, and they approached Moshe Rabbeinu with the Taina, with the request, Lama Nigara, why should we lose out? And I think often we think of Pesach Sheni, we think about Pesach Sheni as the holiday of second chances. You miss your first chance, you have a holiday of second chance. And that's definitely the case. It's a time when we focus on this idea. Even if you made a mistake, you did not accomplish what you wish to accomplish, you have your second chance. That's Pesach Sheni, whether it is Tashlumen or it's not Tashlumen. But it teaches us the importance of second chances. But there's another message in the Yontif of Pesach Sheni, in the holiday of Pesach Sheni, and that is in the very question that they posed to Moshe Rabbeinu, Lama Nigara, why should we lose out? Why should we lose out? For whatever reason, we didn't offer the Karban Pesach on the first opportunity, but why should we now be deprived of the of doing the mitzvah, performing the mitzvah of Pesach Sheni? And the lesson here in Pesach Sheni is that only because they expressed that desire and that will and their pining to perform the mitzvah, it's in that schus. Rashi tells us on those psukim, Rashi tells us that although other mitzvahs were taught directly through Moshe Rabbeinu, this mitzvah that came into existence, or was taught to the Klal Yisrael, due to that question that they posed to Moshe Rabbeinu, Lama Nigara, specifically because they had that desire, they had that passion. Now, while that is a passion for a mitzvah, a particular mitzvah, that attitude is an attitude that is certainly in place when we speak about Torah and Talmud Torah. And in fact, it's a central theme in the very period of time of Sfiras Omer. This idea of waiting and pining for the desire, for the yontiv, for Kabbalah Satorah, is central in the yontiv of Shavuos and in the period of Sfiras Omer. The Rishonim quote a medrash, the Shiboli Alek and others quote a medrash, that when Klal Yisrael left Mitzrayim, they were told that in 50 days they'll receive the Torah. 50 days they'll receive the Torah, and hence the period of Sfiras Omer, counting until the moment of Kabbalah Satorah, the anticipation, the excitement. The Sefer HaChinuch is well known. That is the period of Sfiras Omer counting towards that day of Kabbalah Satorah. But the Akedas Yitzchak adds another dimension to this idea. It's not only a way of demonstrating excitement, which they did by counting towards Kabbalah Satorah, but he writes, actually, on this week's Parsha, that not only is it a manifestation of excitement, which it is, but it's more than that, it's a prerequisite for Kabbalah Satorah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told the Klal Yisrael you receive the Torah only if you in fact demonstrate this excitement to that moment, to that day of Kabbalah Satorah, which is just a few short weeks after Yetzias Mitzrayim. It's this idea, the pining, the excitement, the desire of Klal Yisrael at the time of Pesach Sheni, Lama Nigara, why should we lose out? That's not limited to a particular mitzvah. It's true about all mitzvos, but it's particularly true in this period of time for Kabbalah Satorah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu waited and wished to see from on the part of Klal Yisrael to see that excitement. If they counted towards Kabbalah Satorah, they counted towards the Yontif of Shavuos, then they were worthy of receiving the Torah on Shavuos. So it's very much in the spirit of the day. It's not only the Yontif of Pesach Sheni, whether it is a Yontif today or it's not a Yontif today. You say Tachtanir? No, Tachlan, it was a real winner on a Monday. So if we'd have a Monday of Pesach Sheni and have a Thursday of Lag BaOmer, that would be a bonanza, but that can't happen. So at least you got one. Even Monday is no Tachlan. That's very exciting, right? So many shuls don't say Tachlan. Whether it really is a holiday or not is debatable. But certainly the idea in Pesach Sheni, the message of Pesach Sheni, is one that we should have that thirst, that desire, be it for mitzvahs, be it for Torah, to go to drink the waters of Torah, the thirst that we need to demonstrate for mitzvahs and for Torah in particular. That's a lesson to be learned at this period of time as we approach Kabbalah Satorah in just a few weeks. Just as Klal Yisrael counted to that day of Kabbalah Satorah, that was a prerequisite for Kabbalah Satorah, so too as we prepare ourselves for Kabbalah Satorah, we need to demonstrate this desire and this great pining, craving, Talmud Torah. Obviously, that means, like Chazal teach us, "Hoy kol tzomer l'chul amayim," means that if you really understand that you need that sustenance through Torah, so you do all that you can to grab an extra moment of learning. We all know, we've seen people like this, that every free moment they have their head buried in a sefer. That's the madrega of Hoy Kol Tzomer L'chul Amayim. You're always trying to find an opportunity because you really are, you do pine that connection to Talmud Torah. That is the yontif of Pesach Sheni, the 14th day of Iyar, which can teach us important lessons as we prepare for Kabbalah Satorah. The next yontif that is just around the corner is the yontif of Lag BaOmer. It's good that I'm speaking tonight, Rabbi Leibowitz, because I know it's a Thursday night series, but Thursday night didn't work for me. If I was saying the shiur tomorrow night, I would have a problem in saying the shiur, because I usually count Sfira later on at night, so that we wouldn't be able to talk to say the Shir. So it maybe worked out well that it's on Wednesday night when it's not a problem yet of saying a Lag BaOmer. So the Yontif of Lag BaOmer, what is this Yontif all about? It means different things to different people. It means different things to different people. I spent one Lag BaOmer of my life in Meiron. Lived in Eretz Yisrael for a while. But my wife convinced me to go to Meiron. I don't think I would have gone on my own. She convinced me you have to go to Meiron. So I went to Meiron. I think it was a year like this. I think I came back. It was Friday morning. I believe it was the same setup. And honestly, all the excitement. There was a lot of excitement, but I wasn't sure what we were excited about. At that point, I didn't understand what it's all about. I still don't understand why much of what the holiday is all about. But at least now I understand, on some level, why it's a day of excitement, why it's a day of simcha, as the lashon of the Ramah. It's a little bit of simcha on the yontif of Lag BaOmer. What is it all about? So I'd like to suggest something which you do find in some svarim. I would say in the more litvish svarim, in explaining what is so special about Lag BaOmer, and that is, we know well, all too well, the Gemara Maseches Yevamos, where the Gemara tells us that Rabbi Akiva had 24,000 talmidim v'kulan meisu b'perek echad mipnei shlo nagu kavo zelazet. That's the Gemara that tells us that unfortunately Rabbi Akiva lost all of his talmidim at this period of time. Question exactly when it was, but this period of time, because they didn't act in the appropriate fashion. And according to many of the Rishonim, it all stopped on Lag BaOmer. So if the students of Rabbi Akiva died in the period between Pesach and Shavuos, as the Chazal teach us, but according to many Rishonim, it all stopped on Lag BaOmer, and therefore the simple understanding would be is that it's a day of happiness because the Talmidim stopped dying. And the well-known question posed by the Pri Chadash is that's not really a reason to be excited. If they all died, so there's no one left. And when there's no one left, no one else is going to die. So why is it a day of joy? They all were wiped out. All of his talmidim, as the Gemara will tell us in just a moment, they all died during this period of time. So even if, let's assume they stopped dying on Lag BaOmer, but that's not a reason to be excited. But the Gemara then goes on to tell us that after all of his talmidim had passed away, v'haya olam shamim, the world was desolate. Atshebar Rabbi Akiva eitz Rabosenu shebedaram v'shana lam, and he taught five talmidim: Reb Meir, Reb Yehuda, Reb Yosi, Reb Shimon, and Reb Elazar ben Shamu. Those are the five talmidim that he began to rebuild the world of Torah with these five talmidim. Says the Pri Chadash, the simcha of Lag BaOmer is not that the talmidim stopped dying. The simcha of Lag BaOmer is that there was a rebirth of Torah. The rebirth of Torah happened on the day it began, so to speak, on Lag BaOmer. Rabbi Akiva now turned his attention to new talmidim. All of his talmidim had passed away, and now he turned to some new talmidim and he rebuilt the Torah world with these five great talmidim. Reb Shimon bar Yochai happens to be one of those talmidim, and he's the one. Reb Shimon bar Yochai is the one who says Chas v'shalom shatishkach Torah miYisrael kilos yishakach miPizarro. That is what Reb Shimon bar Yochai, one of these talmidim, said. Heaven forbid that the Torah should be forgotten from the Jewish people. But the simcha is not that they stopped dying, but rather Rabbi Akiva began the process of rebuilding at that time. And that's really Rabbi Akiva's attitude, as many have spoken about, that Rabbi Akiva is able to persevere in his own personal life and in the communal life. In his personal life, ignorant until age 40, worked as hard as can be to become a Talmud Chacham, brought home some Talmidim, then he had even more Talmidim, the big Rosh Hashiva, and then it all collapses and he starts all over again. That's the attitude of Rabbi Akiva, to persevere even in the most difficult times under persecution. All his talmidim are killed in a terrible plague, and nevertheless he perseveres in his Torah learning. He perseveres in his teaching, and he is the great Rebbe of all of these Tanaim that we learn their words of Torah every single day. The simcha of Lag BaOmer is that the Torah, the light of Torah, continues to burn strong. Whether you dance around the Madura, you don't dance around the Madura, this is the way that I can appreciate the simcha of Lag BaOmer. I'm sure there are many other ways to appreciate in the Torah Sakabala, but in the way that we can appreciate the simcha of Lag BaOmer, it's that now we see the Torah perseveres. The light of Torah continues to burn strong. And that, I believe, is the simple understanding of the Gemara. This is not a drush. The simple understanding of the Gemara, if you look at the Gemara in Maseches Yevamos on that very daf, the few lines before this well-known story is a halacha that's not as well known. And the Gemara there says, Rabbi Yeshua Omer, Nasa Adam Isha Bialduso, Yisa Isha Bizeknuso. A person who was married once, lost his wife, he marries a second time. Hayalo Bana Bialduso, he had children in his young years. Yilo Bana Bizeknuso, he should continue to have children. Shanemar, Baboker, Zara, Zarecha, Ula Erev Al Tanach Yodecha. Eincha Yodea, Eze Yikasher, Oze, Imshneem Ke'echa Tovim. Meaning to say, a person doesn't know what the future will bring. So, even if he's fulfilled the mitzvah of Piri V'Riv by the letter of the law, if he can, he should continue to bring children into the world. Then Rabbi Akiva says, Lama Torah bialduso, Yilma Torah bizeknuso, Hailu Talmidim bialduso, Yil Talmidim bizeknuso, Shanemar, the very same pasuk. And then the Gemara tells us the story. The Gemara is bringing out exactly this point. Eincha yodeh, eizi yikasher, ozeh, ozeh. Rabbi Akiva had many Talmidim, but it wasn't meant to be. And they all passed away in a terrible plague, and nothing came from any of those Talmidim. It's only because he persevered and he continued to build Torah later on that we have the great Mesorah of Rabbi Akiva through these five Talmidim. This is the simcha of Lag BaOmer. It's the perseverance in Talmud Torah, the perseverance in Limud Torah and in teaching Torah, to persevere, that things don't always go as planned in our own learning, in our teaching, in growing and developing. This is a challenge in every area of life, and it's certainly a challenge in Talmud Torah. We know you can learn a Blat Gemara and it just doesn't go. It doesn't go once, it doesn't go twice. And you try to prepare a shir and then it doesn't go, it does go, it doesn't work, and then you realize the shir wasn't good, and you have to try again. That's the perseverance of Talmud Torah, and even in a more challenging situation, like the personal story of Rabbi Akiva, the personal terrible tragedies that Rabbi Akiva went through, nevertheless, he persevered, he understood that Talmud Torah demands a commitment that even if it doesn't go as planned, nevertheless, the need to persevere in one's Talmud Torah, in one's Limud HaTorah. The tour in his commentary teaches us that there are certain mnemonics in the Jewish calendar. And if you're a calendar guy, you may know this. And one of the mnemonics that the tour actually quotes in Simin Tuf Chav Ches is that Lag BaOmer and Purim always fall on the same day of the week. It's true, as we know. This year it's a Friday. Purim was on a Friday. Lag BaOmer was on a Friday. That's a mnemonic in the Jewish calendar. You'll always know the Purim and Lag BaOmer. Is there any connection? Rabbi Yerucham Olshan in his Sefer suggests there's a strong connection. There's a strong connection because not only the fact is that Lag BaOmer, the Lashon of the Ramah, is Marbin Ktsas Simcha. It sounds almost like a similar language that will be borrowed from the laws of Purim. There's a Ktsas Simcha or Marbin B'Simcha, the very last simon in Shulchan Aruch in Arachayim about Purim Katan. A little bit of extra Simcha on Purim. But Rabbi Yerucham Olshan suggests that the simcha is that just as in the time of Purim, there was the danger that Torah would be destroyed. Torah would forever be, Klai Yisrael would be destroyed. And there was a new Kabbalah Satorah, and Klai Yisrael were re-energized once again in connecting to HaKadosh Baruch Hu through Torah. So too the time of Lag BaOmer, the simcha of Lag BaOmer, is very much connected to the simcha of Purim, that Bahare Neinu B'Sarah Secha, we now have the ability to study Torah. Rabbi Akiva persevered. He taught Torah, and that's the great simcha of Lag BaOmer that we celebrate, that we Litvaks celebrate, because we understand that there's a nitzchias to Torah. The Torah, there can be times when there's a danger of almost the Torah will be forgotten, but that we have that statement from Shimbar Yochai Kilosi Shakach Mipizaro, the words of Torah will never be forgotten, and that connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu through His Torah is what we celebrate on Lag BaOmer. So Pesach Sheni is the yontif of determination and persevering in the desire, the pining of to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu through mitzvah and through Talmud Torah. And the celebration of Lag BaOmer is exactly this. It happened in our history, our collective Jewish history. There was a time when Klal Yisrael were in danger, the Torah would be forgotten, so to speak. But Rabbi Akiva persevered. The simcha of Lag BaOmer is exactly that. And the last of the three holidays I'd like to talk about this evening is maybe a little bit surprising, And that is the Yontif of Yom Yerushalayim. I say surprising because it doesn't seem to inform our connection to Talmud Torah per se. So what I'd like to suggest this evening is not so much, you know, the way that we normally think about the Yontif of Yom Yerushalayim, but I'd like to focus on one idea that's found in the Psukim, in both in the Chumash as well as in the Tanakh, about Yerushalayim. For many of us, the celebration of Yom Yerushalayim is that so many years, Klal Yisrael, and every religious event with the words L'shana Haba B'Yerushalayim Abenuya, so many of the brachas in Shmona Esrei focus on V'Yerushalayim Ircha, Esemach David, so many of the brachas focus on seeing the flourishing and the flowering and the rebuilding of Yerushalayim, whether it means only through the coming of the Mashiach, or even without that, the very fact is an ingathering of the exiles, the people coming and settling settling in Eretz Yisrael and Yerushalayim. And it's the realization of that dream that took place on the day of Yom Yerushalayim, the day we celebrate the 28th day of Iyar. And in the Chumash, the Torah tells us in Parshas Re'eh, when speaking about the mitzvah of Hakravas HaKarbanos, the Torah tells us you must be careful in exactly where you offer the Karbanos. The Torah says, Ki imela makoma sheivcha Hashem Elokeichem mikol shifteichem lasumes shemo sham lishichno sidrashu uvasasham. Lishichno sidrashu uvasasham, Chazal Darshan, we're talking about the Mikdash in Yerushalayim, we speak about the Mishkan in Shiloh. It has reference to the various places where we offered Karbanos, but the simple explanation of lishichno sidrashu uvasasham means we must seek out the Shechina and arrive there. L'shichno sidrashu uvas Hashama, seek out that place where HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Shechina rests. And a pasuk in the Sefer Yirmiyahu, which we know, probably don't know, maybe some do know from learning Yirmiyahu, but we know from the Gemara Meseches Rosh Hashanah on Daf Lamed, where the Gemara tells us, the Mishnah tells us, that the mitzvah of Lulav is a mitzvah in Mikdash all seven. In Gvulin, outside of Mikdash, it's a mitzvah only on one day. But the Mishnah tells us, Mishachar Beis HaMikdash, Hitkin, Rabbi Yochanan and Zakkai, that we should take Lulav for 7 days. Take Lulav for 7 days. Zeichel HaMikdash, where does this come from? So the Gemara quotes a Pasuk, and the Pasuk says, Ki nitcha karu la tzion hi doresh ein la. There is no one, again the nations of the world speaking, there is no one who seeks out Tzion, says the Gemara. If that's what the nations of the world are going to say, Tzion Dorish Einla, Michlal Deboy Drisha. We must seek out Eretz Yisrael, says the Gemara. For that reason, the Takana was instituted by Reb Yochanan ben Zakkai, that we should take Lulav on all 7 days, even outside Yerushalayim, Zecher LeMikdash. It's this idea of the Michlal Deboy Drisha, we must seek out Yerushalayim, seek out Eretz Yisrael, that we see in these psukim. Mechlal deboy drisha, l'shichno sidrashu, uvas hashama, you have to seek out that place. Now this has no inherent connection to Torah per se. This means to say that we have to seek out HaKadosh Baruch Hu, seek out the Shechina. But Rav Aaron Lichtenstein is a beautiful idea. I don't remember if I heard it directly from him or I read it once. Rav Aaron Lichtenstein is a beautiful idea on the Pasuk that we know so well. Pasuk we sing and we know so well. The Pasuk tells us, Yerushalayim harim saviv la, Me'atavi ad olam. Yerushalayim is surrounded by mountains. That's the literal explanation of the pasuk. Yerushalayim harim saviv la, v'Hashem saviv le'amo me'atavi ad olam. And everyone knows, travel to Yerushalayim. We haven't been there in the longest time. But you travel to Yerushalayim. You drive up the mountains as you go up, up and up and up. You're surrounded by mountains. And Yerushalayim is surrounded entirely by the mountains. Says Rav Aaron Lichtenstein that the psukim here, David HaMelech, is teaching us, not only is it describing the landscape, no, it's describing the experience. Yerushalayim harim saviv la, v'Hashem saviv la'amo, means to say, if you want to ascend to Yerushalayim, you better be prepared to work hard. You better be prepared to climb up the mountains and ascend to Yerushalayim, because it doesn't come so easy, it doesn't come so simple. Eretz Yisrael is niknas b'Yisurin, and if you want that connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you have to be willing to work, you have to be willing to toil, to ascend to up to Yerushalayim. It's this connection that we desire, l'shichno sidrashu uvas hashama, the connection to the Makam HaMikdash, which, as the Rambam explains, that the kedusha of Makam HaMikdash is obviously due to the fact that the Shechina is still present in the Makam HaMikdash. It's that connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we desire, but we have to be willing to work hard. We have to be willing to be moser nefesh in every which way in the service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but particularly in Talmud Torah and Limud HaTorah. I'd like to conclude by sharing with you something that I said in my shul this past Shabbos. A comment from Reb Itzel of Volozhiner. Reb Itzel of Volozhiner, the son of Reb Chaim Volozhiner, in his Sefer Pe Kadosh, on this past week's parasha, on Parashas Kedoshim, he quotes the Gemara Meseches Kiddushim, where the Gemara tells us, Mipnei seva takum vadarta pnei zakein v'yareisa me'elokech ani Hashem. Mipnei seva takum vahadarta pnei zakein. Says the Gemara, who does this speak of? Mipnei seva takum vahadarta pnei zakein. Who is the zakein? You have to stand up for an elderly gentleman. No, make no difference who he happens to be. Says the Gemara, not so fast. Vahadarta pnei zakein ze shekana chachma. The one who acquired wisdom, it is for him that you must stand. That's the way he explained, that's the way the Chazal understand in the Gemara Maseches Kiddushin. Says Reb Itzel of Volozhiner that what Chazal understood in this pasuk is the following. Bipnei seva takum vahadarta pnei zakein, ze shekana chachma, the one who acquired chachma. When you acquire something, when you go to the store to buy something, you must pay for something in return. I want to buy a watch, I have to pay for it. I want to buy a chair, I have to pay for it. How do you buy Torah? Ze shekana chachma. How do you acquire chachma sa Torah? That's through hard work. Hard work. If you're willing to toil in Torah, ze shekana chachma. The Talmud Chacham was the one who gave of his time. He gave of himself his sweat, blood, and tears to acquire Torah. So the Torah tells us, ze shekana chachma, he's deserving of honor. Only one who is a true zakein, ze shekana chachma, the one who's willing to work hard, to toil, to understand the Dvar Hashem, to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he is deserving of our honor. And I believe that's the way to read the Mishnah, Meseches Avos, in the Perek Kinyan HaTorah, which is obviously the culmination of this period of time as we learn Perek Avos. The Mishnah tells us, right the line just before it introduces the 48 ways to be Kona Torah, and I'll read the Mishnah as it appears in, I believe, in almost every text that you'll find. Gedola Torah Yosem min HaKuno min HaMalchus. Shamalchus Niknis Bishloshim Malos. Va'kuhuna Be'esrim Varba. Va'Torah Niknis Barba Ba'arba'im Ushmona Dvorim. That's the language of the Mishnah. But some of the Mefarshim say that simply can't be. That can't be the text of the Mishnah. Because everybody knows the joke. I don't have to take your time. I already had a joke in the beginning, right? The fellow comes to the rabbi, an irreligious Jew comes to the rabbi, says, Rabbi, I want to be a kohen. He says, what do you mean you want to be a kohen? I can't just give you kuhn. He says, what do you mean I'm willing to pay $1,000, $1,000,000, until he finally says, you know why I want? Because my father was a kohen, right? So you can't buy kahuna. It's not nikness. And that's why if you look, some of the mafarshim say, the text of the Mishnah is not that way. You look in the Pirush of the Pirkei Moshe, one of the Rishonim, and he says, the word nikness is applicable only when we speak of Torah. The other ideas, the kahuna and the malucha, there's no kinyan for kahuna and malucha. If you come from that family, then you are now worthy of kahuna and malchus. Torah demands kinyan. Torah requires that you're willing to give it your all in order to be kona Torah. That's the zakin, the zesha kona chachma, and that's really the idea when we speak of Yerushalayim harim saviv la. Vashem saviv le'amo me'atavi ad olam, a person who's l'shichno sidrushu, willing to work hard, when you really desire that connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we're speaking this evening specifically through Talmud Torah, then you're willing to give up, you're willing to barter certain things. You'll give of your time, you'll give of your resources, you're willing to make that kinyan in order to acquire Torah to understand the Dvar Hashem. So as we have celebrated the Yontif of Pesach Sheni, and we will celebrate the Yontif of Lag BaOmer and then Yom Yerushalayim, I believe each one informs us a little bit about the importance of Talmud Torah, and each one specifically, the Yontif of Pesach Sheni teaches us that if we desire, we pine for that connection through HaKadosh Baruch Hu through Torah, which is in essence the entire period of Sfiras HaOmer, like the Akedah, the Baal Akedah teaches us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wishes to see that desire for his Torah. And the Yontif of Lag BaOmer, that even though there was a danger during the time of Rabbi Akiva, but we have that guarantee, Ki lo si shakach mi pizaro, that's the simcha of Lag BaOmer, and that's the simcha for each and every one of us, to know to it that even if there are it ebbs and flows in our connection through HaKadosh Baruch Hu, through learning, but we can fan the flames of Torah, to see to it that our connection gets stronger and stronger, and finally, the yantif of Yom Yerushalayim teaches us that this connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, l'shichno sidrusu v'ashashama, requires and demands that we have that desire to come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to climb up the mountains, to be willing to put in the hard work, to buy the Torah, so to speak. That's the Zesha Kanachachma. Let's hope and pray that together we'll be able to work on these fronts and many other fronts, and seeing to it that in just a few weeks we will be worthy of receiving the Torah from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Thank you very much for inviting me.
Who changes the...